John chapter 3, we're looking at verses 1 to 8. Some of you will be familiar with this text simply because you're reading through the scriptures. You know it very well. But also in the men's ministry, in the youth ministry, the young adults group, going through a discipleship process, this is the first text that we study, John chapter 3, verses 1 to 8. And today, again, let us look at these powerful words from God's Word. John chapter 3, verses 1 to 8. Hear now God's infallible word. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." In reply, Jesus declared, "I tell you the truth. No one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again." "How can a man be born when he's old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely he cannot enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he's born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." And let's ask God's Spirit, God and His Spirit, to bless the preaching of His Word. Let's pray together. Father, you have given us your Spirit without measure, filling us daily for our needs. And we are needy right now, Lord, to be filled afresh, to be hearers of your word. Open our ears to hear your mighty voice. And may you help me, your weak and needy servant, to bring it with power. So may you be with us in a powerful way by your Spirit, in and through the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, in whom we proclaim. Amen. Everyone knows, I believe, that your computer has an operating system. Whether your operating system is Windows or OX 10 or whatever it might be, and you know that those operating systems are not compatible with one another. Well, just like a computer, we are born into this world with a kind of operating system. But I wonder how you understand your life. Is it only the life that you were conceived in? Or is there another life? Nicodemus should have recognized that there was another life. Nicodemus was the teacher of Israel. Let me give you a picture of who this man was like. A Pharisee, a man who was well respected. We know that Jesus spoke very harshly against the Pharisees, but in that day in the Jewish society, the Pharisees were highly regarded and respected. Pharisees were those who were separatists from the world. They were pious in their strict religious observance. And this man was not only a Pharisee, this man Nicodemus, but he was also a ruler of the Jews. What does that mean? He was among a group of 70 elders of what we call the Sanhedrin. You have the high priest, who was the greatest man in that city of Jerusalem, but second to him were these 70 elders, the Sanhedrin. Nicodemus was a Pharisee. He was a ruler of the Jews. It seems like Nicodemus had it all. He was a very wealthy man. But this was his life. This is all he knew. And this is how he operated. We read here that he came to Jesus by night. Why is that? Most likely that he was fearful of his fellow elders in the Sanhedrin. But also Jesus was very busy during the day with the crowds around him, so he wanted to have a private meeting with Jesus. And so he got that one-on-one meeting with him. And we know that he was very respectful, calling Jesus one who was from God and that God was with him. Why? Because of all the signs and the miracles that he saw in Jesus, that was his conclusion. It was a right conclusion that he was from God and that God was with him. So here is Nicodemus. He seemed to have everything he needed in his life. A man who was living rightly and having right conclusions, at least in part of who Jesus was. But he still did not understand. In verse 10, Jesus says, "You are a teacher of Israel, and you do not understand these things." What was Nicodemus not understanding? Well, it's like in every church in history around the globe, there are all these people in the church, many people who are just like Nicodemus, religious, pious, respected, but they don't understand. They don't yet understand because they're still operating in that one life from conception. Because they don't understand there is another life to be had. Like Nicodemus, he didn't understand what that life was because of this. He was not yet born again. He had not yet begun with Jesus. What is that new birth Jesus speaks of? Being born again. It also can be translated as born from above. The source is heaven, from God, of God. Being born again. And so here's the point that Jesus had for Nicodemus and for us today. It's right in these words. You must be born again. You must be born again. We're going to look at two things here. The necessity of the new birth and then the nature of the new birth. First of all, the necessity of the new birth. In this conversation that Jesus is having with Nicodemus, Jesus quickly makes Nicodemus aware of his need for this new birth. And you can't notice it here, but in the Greek, Jesus says, "You, Nicodemus," you speaking to one person, but he's saying it in a plural. Not just you, Nicodemus, but your fellow elders, all the Jewish nation, all people, everywhere, over all time, must be born again. And you must. It's necessary. There are no options. You must be born again. And if you are not born again, unless you are born again, it says you cannot see the kingdom of God. You cannot see the kingdom that Jesus is bringing. And then in verse 5, he says, you cannot even enter the kingdom of God unless you are born again. You cannot see, you cannot enter the kingdom of God unless you are born again. This is what John, in this letter, this gospel says here in John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. To all those who received him, to all who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born, past tense, who were born, not of blood. What does that mean, not of blood? That is not by human descent. Children, you cannot be born again simply because your parents are Christian. Not of blood, not of the will of the flesh. That means in your own strength you cannot cause yourself to be born again. And then not of man. Someone else cannot cause that new birth in you. But it's of God. The source of this new birth is of God. Nicodemus did not see that need in him. But that's what he needed. As a Pharisee, his entire hope was in his lineage, that he was a descendant of Abraham. And so he could not see the need for this new birth. This is what we call presumption. Presuming that we are having this life in God when we don't. When I was young, that was me, presuming. Presuming that I was a Christian. And I was afraid of hell, so every birthday I used to ask, invite Jesus into my heart. Just to be safe. But I presumed that I was a Christian, that I had that life of God in me. But you know, when I heard of those people that were the born-again people, I disassociated myself from them. Whether they were street preachers in the Byward Market, or if a friend asked me, "Are you one of those born-again Christians?" I would say no. Until later on, when I was 20, I believe, I heard a sermon and I heard these words, "You must be born again." And I was surprised. But I still wasn't born again. I still did not understand. Do you understand that you must be born again? For most of you, this teaching is not new to you. You know this very well. And you know that our children, in being baptized, are not born again by somehow magically with that water of baptism. And you also know that at an evangelistic meeting, if there's an altar call, as people come forward, that doesn't cause people to be born again. You, I believe, know that. But knowing that is not enough. You must be born again. Do you see the absolute necessity of this new birth? Do you also see that you can do nothing to make it happen? George Whitefield, famous preacher in the Great Awakening, once was asked by his friend, "George, why do you always preach that you must be born again?" And you know the answer? George Whitefield said, "Because you must be born again." The absolute necessity for all of us to be born again. Jesus made it so clear that you cannot even see the kingdom of God unless you are given new eyes to see. You cannot enter into the kingdom of God unless you are made into a person who is fit for the kingdom of God. You must have that new birth. So do not be surprised like Nicodemus was. But do you understand now of the absolute necessity for you to be born again and to be given this new operating system to replace the old, not to remain with that original one? Now, if you're wondering, now, all this time, if you have experienced this new birth, then you need to understand the nature of the new birth. The second point is the nature of the new birth. What is this new birth? It is not the same as the first. Nicodemus thought it was the same. He asked those questions, that question there in verse 4. How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter into his mother's womb again and be born again? We know here that Jesus is not speaking of earthly things. He said, flesh gives birth to flesh. What is he speaking of here? He's speaking of spiritual realities, heavenly realities. That which is born in the Spirit gives birth to spirit. Nicodemus could only think of those physical earthly realities. That's the only way he could operate and think in that way. And he was missing it, not understanding the need for spiritual regeneration. Not physical generation, but spiritual regeneration. What is this regeneration? A doctrine in Scripture called regeneration. It is a sovereign act of God's Spirit where he implants new life in a person. This is regeneration. It is nothing on our part that we can do in this operation is a sovereign act of God. Do you know how Lazarus came out of the tomb? Did he pick himself up as a dead man in the tomb for 4 days? The only way he could come out of that tomb was when Jesus cried out, "Lazarus, come out." He was passive. He was a dead man. Just as we, in our sin, we are dead. Spiritually dead. Utterly unable to raise ourselves up to this new life is a sovereign work of God. Regeneration also brings a change in nature, that we are given a new nature. 2 Corinthians chapter 5:17 says, "Whoever is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, all things are what? New." Regeneration also brings renewal of the whole person, a renewal of the mind, of the heart, of the will. It is the replacing of the old with the new, a renewal, complete renewal into the image of Christ. And here's an analogy that I've heard that I find very helpful. Picture a factory that is under an owner and management that is corrupt to the core. And people are working under that management and under that owner. But let's say another owner comes, a new management, and buys that factory out. Well, the workers will begin to see the changes. This renewal from the inside out because of the new owner and new management. Regeneration is not renovation. It's not rehabilitation. It's not like what happened to my brother-in-law when he was working on the ship in Halifax. And his superior officer asked him to replace a part. He knew the need for a part. My brother-in-law knew the need to replace a part on the ship, a very important part. And instead of replacing it, the superior officer said, "Paint it red instead. Just paint it." That's not regeneration. It's not polishing of the outside. It is not behavior modification. It's not self-help, self-improvement. It is a radical transformation from the inside out. That is the new birth. How do you know if regeneration has happened in you? How do you know if you have this new life? It's only perceived in the effects that it brings. The changes that it brings. And there are two pictures here that Jesus gives. One is water. The picture of water. In verse 5, Jesus says, "I tell you the truth, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he's born of what? Of water and the Spirit." And we need to understand this to be in parallel with those words, born again. Born again and born of water and the Spirit. What is this water then? Water is a picture. It's not a picture of literally the amniotic fluid when our children are born. That's not the water of that birth. It's also not the water of baptism, because we know that water, the water of baptism cannot do anything spiritually in a person's life to cause that new birth. What is this water then? Nicodemus should have recognized as a teacher of the Old Testament. He should have known that water in the Old Testament was always a picture of cleansing, of renewal, the water that's being poured out, the water of the Holy Spirit being poured out. And most importantly, he should have known Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel chapter 36 and verse 36 is verses 25 to 27. Here's the picture of water. "I will sprinkle clean water on you." That's why sprinkling, it's a very valid mode of baptism. "I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities, and from all your idols. You see the picture of cleansing through sprinkling of water? And then also through the Spirit, we also see a new heart. I will give you a new heart and a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. New heart by the Spirit. In verse 27, I will put my Spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. Clean heart by the washing of the Spirit. A new heart by the Spirit. And new obedience. Now Nicodemus could not see this, not understand it, because he was trusting in his own obedience to see his need for cleansing from sin. Do you see your need for the Spirit's work in you? Do you see your desperate need for cleansing by the Spirit, the washing of water? That is the work of the Spirit. Taking the work of Jesus and His death on the cross, the blood that was shed to cleanse us, applying that blood to our sin, to cleanse it and wash it away. You know the chorus, what can wash away our sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus, applied by the Spirit. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. That's a picture in the Old Testament. Now, coming to the New Testament, when we have Titus chapter 3, verses 4 to 6, another picture of water. And I wonder if this is your confession. Can you say these words as your confession? When the goodness and kindness of God appeared, He saved us. Not according to works of righteousness that we have done, but according to His mercy. Now listen to this. Through the washing of regeneration. A picture of water washing us and bringing this new birth. And the renewal of the Holy Spirit, which has been poured out in us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Is that your confession? That you have been washed. That you have been cleansed by that Spirit, born of water and the Spirit. Do you see that now? The second picture is of wind. Of wind. Jesus speaks of wind. The wind that blows wherever it wishes. You hear its sound, but you do not know where it's coming from. And you do not know where it is going. And so it is the one who is born of the Spirit. Now, what is this picture of the wind? This word wind in Greek is the same word as spirit. Pneuma. Wind and spirit. It's a beautiful picture. But we also see this both in the Old and New Testament. How the wind is a picture of the Spirit. Ezekiel 36, we heard. 37, we heard this morning. Of the valley of dry bones. These dead bones. But as Ezekiel is prophesying, there's a sound. And as he's prophesying, saying these words, thus says the Lord, come from the four winds, O breath, breathe that they may live. In the New Testament, we have Pentecost. From heaven, the sound of rushing wind. Disciples then being filled with the Holy Spirit. The wind and the Spirit. Where the Spirit works, we see the effects. We see the evidence, and it's undeniable, and it's irresistible. It is irresistible. Children here today, can you control the wind? Can you grasp the wind in your hands? Can you tell the wind, commanding the wind, to go here and go there? Do we have that power with the wind? In South Sudan, we have so many stories of being in our house with storms blowing through, and the wind would come from one direction, swirl around, and hit the house from the other direction. At times it seemed as though the wind was picking the rain and it was going upwards as it was swirling around. We had no control over the wind. Even last March, I was in a thunderstorm in a very old tent. in the middle of the night, I was on my knees worshiping the Lord in the storm, holding the tent from collapsing. The wind is irresistible. We can do nothing to control the wind. And so it is with the Holy Spirit. It is irresistible. The effects of the wind of the Spirit are undeniable. And so it is with God at work in everyone that He so chooses. We don't fully understand. It's out of our control. But we know that God is always at work by His Spirit. He's at work in us who believe. He is at work in your children, in your family. He's at work in this church. He's at work in this country. We don't always understand His timing and His ways, but God is at work by His Spirit. He always is. God's sovereign work of regeneration is like the wind. You can't make regeneration to happen. Please understand that. You cannot make it to happen by something you do, but only by surrendering to the Spirit's work in you. What can you do is this. You can cry out for mercy. You can ask to be cleansed and to be changed and to have this new life that is in Christ in you. That's what you can do. May you receive it. Jesus spoke these words of life to Nicodemus. These words of the necessity and the nature of the new birth. In this meeting, Nicodemus did not understand. We know he knew many things of the Scriptures, but he didn't know the power of the Holy Spirit and this new life that could be his. But God was at work in him, because we find Nicodemus on the day that Jesus died with another man, Joseph of Arimathea, taking down the body of Jesus and bringing, having brought spices with him, they wrap Jesus up, preparing him for his burial with the spices. And I looked it up, and it was 75 pounds of spices, almost $200,000 in today's currency worth of spices. Here's a man who loved Jesus, a man who found that new life in Jesus. What about today? Do you have that life in Jesus? The new birth? Do you have that life that maybe you had long ago by the Spirit still with you today, being renewed by that same Spirit? Today you have heard the words of life, believing unto eternal life, I hope. If you have heard this living Word of God, let it be like that seed that Peter talks about, that imperishable seed that remains in you, that Word of God that is the good news that is preached to you, that bears fruit in you. Words of life that bring life by the Spirit. But some still have not heard and need to listen to these words, that you'll never forget of your necessity to be born again. Understanding what it means to be born again. That's nature. That when you look to Jesus, being given eyes to see Him, that you will see Him on that cross. His blood was shed to wash away your sin. And then from that blood, applied by the Spirit, being given new life. If you have any concern for your soul in this earthly life, you will ask yourself that question. Where is the evidence of this new birth? Paul says, examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know that Jesus Christ is in you? the Spirit of God bearing witness to that? Or are you still operating with that life you were born into? Some of you still trust in your own religiosity, still seeking to have that veneer. Is that you? Because trusting in that will lead you to hell. But when you renounce that trust and you trust in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation, in Him you will find that life. So the focus is not inward, whether you've experienced this new birth. Your focus now is outward, looking upon Jesus and the kingdom that He is coming to bring. He's bringing here, even today, and entering into His courts with praise and thanksgiving for what He has done for you. You have the Spirit of God, you, my brother and sister, as a seal, as a deposit of your inheritance of that kingdom that Jesus is bringing. And you can be confident that He who has begun a good work in you will bring it to completion on that final day in Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father, thank You for that life, the life that we have, and for those who have yet to have, can have in You. We thank You that You sent Your Son not to die and simply be buried, but You raised Him up to new life, that we who are dead in sins and trespasses might be raised up with Him in that new life. Father, may You renew us today by Your Spirit. And may Your grace be at work to press on in this new life that we have in Christ, being cleansed from sin today and being renewed in every way, being conformed to the image of Christ. Bless Your servants today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.